She's my she's my oh, oh, she's my homie, yeah. She's my homie, yeah. She's my She said she wanna roll with me. She can see life's taking its toll on me, yeah. And she telling me she down for me. She'll be there.
What's going on, fam? Welcome to another episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite Nasheed, and I am broadcasting live from the UK right now. I'm in Birmingham, England. Not Birmingham, Alabama. Shout out to my Bama folks. But I'm in Birmingham, England, and I'm going to chop up a little game with the family worldwide today. But what we are going to do first, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a very quick commercial break, and we will be right back right here on the Tariq Elite Radio Show.
Hey, what's up? This is Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. Go to UndeniableGame.com and get my free audio program, Undeniable Game, which teaches you 7 easy-to-follow tips on how to really attract beautiful women. The Undeniable Game audio program is absolutely free to download, so you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Master the game and get your free copy at UndeniableGame.com. That's UndeniableGame.com.
Check out this brand new book out right now called And That's Why I Enjoy the Pain, A Black Man's Informal Guide to Life. This book is a guide to understanding the soul of the black man from the perspective of author Odemian Jones. Now, Jones is an up-and-coming author, and his book is designed to give you some life lessons based on his experience, and these experiences can be used by the reader. Get the book right now at odemian.com. That's O-D-I-M-I-U-N.com. There's a brand new book out right now called I Was a Slave, Plight of a King. Now, this book is by author Race Cummings, and his book is a stark and unapologetic look at the state of our African-American communities and what, if anything, can be done about it. Mr. Cummings offers a keen perspective on black history in the pre-America days, black tragedies during the commissioning of our kidnapping and enslavement, and continuing tragedies after slavery. This is a very deep book, and you guys need to get it right now. This book talks about, are you a racist? Do you support your own black community? Have you been treated like a queen? The book goes real deep. You can get the book at Amazon right now. Go to Amazon and type in, I Was a Slave, Plight of a King, and get it right now. Yo, you need to stop putting out low-quality music and visit LegendaryMix.com. If you are a rapper, a singer, a producer, or a label owner, then you should already know about LegendaryMix.com. That's the number one online music mixing and mastering service. Take advantage of their low-cost, high-quality mixdowns and professional mastering services and prices while they're still low. Clients rate them as number one for best price. With over 13 years of experience, they will deliver top quality results with great turnaround times. Contact LegendaryMix.com, mention Tariq Radio, and get half off on your mastering for your first mix down. Or call or text 347-565-5892 or email LegendaryMix1@gmail.com.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting battle fight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
You are now tuning in to the king of game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
Put some respect on my name.
What's going on, fam? Welcome back to the Tariq Elite Radio Show. And again, I am a gracious host. I am Mr. Tariq Elite Nasheed, also known as King Flex, and I am broadcasting live from Birmingham, England. I'm out here in the UK. I'm out here this week. We're going to do the premiere of, well, the European premiere. Excuse me. And y'all got to excuse my throat. The weather out here is a beast. It's cold as hell out here. I came out from Los Angeles. Out in Los Angeles, it was like 90 something. So I'm packing kind of light.
I'm just assuming that it's gonna be kind of warm over here. I got over here, it's got freezing as hell. I still gotta get me a coat. They got these tight European cuts. You heard of skinny jeans. They got skinny coats out in this motherfucker. So I can't be rocking the skinny coats. So I'm gonna have some of my brothers take me to some of the spots to get something that has more of a loose masculine fit. But again, I'm out here in the UK. We're doing the UK premiere for the phenomenal film Hidden Colors 4. And let me shout out to everybody, and I've said this on my last Ustream, but again, I just gotta say it again. Shout out to everyone who has supported and watched Hidden Colors 4. I mean, the Hidden Colors 4 is a monster right now. I mean, that Hidden Colors 4 is the talk of the world. People around the world are talking about how they think the film is so phenomenal. Some people are, not some, but many people are saying that this is the best Hidden Colors out of all four. So people are giving it mad props, and it's taking me by surprise. Excuse me, y'all. God damn, it's cold. It's cold in my hotel. I'm staying out here at the hotel. I got the heat up to shit. You know, they on the Celsius thing, so 26 Celsius or whatever the fuck it is. And I still feel a damn draft. So y'all excuse my coughing and clearing of the throat periodically. But like I said, man, the Hidden Colors 4 film, man, that has taken people by storm. It has really resonated with a lot of people. I mean, when people watch that film, you can see the empowerment in their eyes, man. This movie, something about this one. And I still don't know what it is, to be honest. Because when I'm doing these films, understand, we're editing for about a year. So I'm seeing the film over and over and over again. So it kind of gets old to me. So after a while, I'm like, okay, this is old to me. So I don't know how the audience is going to see it, because I'm seeing it through my own eyes and I've seen it over and over again. But when a new audience sees it, it blows them away. So it kind of takes me by surprise. And again, I don't know what it is about this particular entry in the Hidden Colors series that really, really, really touches something in people, but people are open. People are going to see this thing multiple times. It has sold out in every theater. The pre-sales of Hidden Colors 4, and I talked about this before, it's the number one documentary on Amazon based on pre-sales. It's the number one independent film based on pre-sales, and it's in the top 10 bestseller of all films, and it's going neck and neck with Spider-Man, The Avengers, Captain America, Star Wars, Harry Potter, Hunger Games. It's going neck and neck with them. It's outselling some of those. So this is how deep the Hidden Colors series is, man. And also, this shows the power of the black dollar. This shows that our spending power is more powerful than we've been led to believe. A lot of the mainstream media, they don't want to talk about the success of the Hidden Colors 4 film. We've sold out theaters all around the world, and the mainstream media, they're not saying too much about it. Now, I've done a little mainstream press out here in the UK, but in the US, the mainstream media, it's like hush, hush, hush. You know, because they're not getting their cut, basically, because this is a 100% black finance, black produced, black directed film. There are no white saviors, none of that nonsense. So they've been pretty quiet about it, but we don't need permission for them to say anything. I just want to make a note at how quiet people in the mainstream press, how they've been about it. And that just means we need to keep doing our own thing. We don't need nobody's approval. This is why I'm so proud of all the people who supported the film, because now we've supported something that's comparative to what's out there in the dominant society that they put hundreds of millions of dollars behind. And this is the first time in history a black independent film, forget about black history, but just a black independent film that's 100% independent, has gone neck to neck with major blockbuster films as far as DVD sales. So that's something that we should take note of. But I'm gonna talk about that a little bit later. Let's talk about some other things that's happening and popular culture. And I'm going to talk while I look for some goddamn socks up in this hotel. So if y'all hear some knocking and scraping and scratching going on in the back, don't trip. One thing I'm going to touch on is that story about the damn gorilla in Cincinnati. I know y'all have heard about the story. In Cincinnati at the zoo, there was a child that made a mistake. Child, you know, children be fucking around. And the little boy got in the gorilla enclosure and fell down in the opening. And there was a gorilla standing over him. And the gorilla kind of dragged the little kid a little bit. Not really hurting him. But, you know, this is a wild goddamn animal. So what happened at the zoo, instead of tranquilizing the animal, because that would have made the animal more aggressive, they had to shoot the gorilla. And now that they found out that the kid's parents were black, it was a black child, all the white supremacists, you know, they're showing their horns. So now all the suspected white supremacists, and let me say this very clear, if you are outraged over a gorilla being killed, but you're not outraged over all of these unarmed black people being killed, I'm going to suspect that you are a white supremacist. Because if you're going to have a hateful indifference towards human beings with melanin, but now you're so outraged over a damn gorilla getting shot, then we just have to suspect that you're a white supremacist. Because that selective outrage, and that's the thing that kills me. A lot of people in the dominant society, when black people are getting shot up and killed unarmed and unjustly, they always act like they can't do nothing. They always act like they're helpless. They always act like they don't know what to do. Oh, I don't know. We're just going to have to let the court system handle it. I don't know. It's that whole naive, I don't know what to do, I'm helpless. Now let an animal get hurt. They know what to do then. They know how to sign petitions and rally against sponsors and sue people and file lawsuits. They know how to do shit when an animal is hurt. Leave a puppy in a goddamn car. Suspected white supremacists will go by your car and break the damn window. Get that fucking puppy out of there, buddy. You know, they'll go to action. They know what to do about an animal. But when black folks get shot, I don't know. I just need more evidence. I don't know. Is that stupid shit? So now everybody's outraged over the damn gorilla getting shot. All people in Hollywood, suspected white supremacists in Hollywood, are lashing out against the poor gorilla that got shot. And so many, there are thousands of protests. People are signing petitions, mad about the gorilla being shot. And you know what that really is? What they really want to say is, how dare you kill a gorilla to save a black child? Because that kid could have got killed. That child could have been killed in there with that damn gorilla. That's still a wild animal. The gorilla was kind of dragging the kid. Even if the gorilla thinks that it's being nurturing, gorillas are hella fucking strong. That's why Michael Jackson had to get rid of Bubbles, and Bubbles is just a chimpanzee. Because Michael said when Bubbles got older, Bubbles got too damn strong and he got dangerous. Those chimpanzees be ripping motherfuckers' faces off. You hear these stories about people owning chimpanzees and then all of a sudden the chimpanzees bit their damn hand off. Those things are real unpredictable. You never know. You all hugging it. You think the chimpanzee is cute. You know, because white people be trying to make wild animals pets. They get an animal and they walking around with the chimpanzee. And they got them dressed up in some goddamn Levi jeans and some skating shoes and got a little hat on the chimpanzee. And the chimpanzee's walking around with a diaper. Then all of a sudden, that chimpanzee breaks bad on their ass. And start biting their fucking nose off. Then they act like they don't know what happened. So just imagine the gorilla that's on that rah-rah shit. So that gorilla could have really killed that kid. So when people are complaining about the gorilla being shot, what the hell were they expecting the zoo to do? I want you to ask anybody who's rallying for the goddamn gorilla, what were they supposed to do? You couldn't tranquilize the gorilla. That thing would have flipped out and start biting the shit out that kid. So what were they supposed to do? What the white supremacists were, they like, well, let the kid get killed. Let him get killed. Don't kill an endangered gorilla for a Negro child. That's basically what they're saying. And what's deep, after they found out that the parents were black, all the white supremacists had a field day. They start talking, the mom is ghetto, the thug family. These low-down white supremacists, especially at the Daily Mail news, they literally start writing articles about the little boy's father, talking about the little boy's father's criminal record. They literally start doing stories talking about the little boy who fell down in the gorilla thing. They're talking about, well, his father has a long criminal record, which has nothing. The boy's father wasn't even there. From what we understand, it looks like the boy's father wasn't even there. But they're bringing up some criminal record, some old white supremacist neo-Nazi bullshit propaganda. This is how deep and dirty and how that yellow journalism has become prevalent now. And I forgot the writer's name. It was the white supremacist suspect female, Linda something. I can't think of her last name. But she's a dirtbag for writing that. And the Daily Mail UK, whatever the name of the newspaper is, we have to look at them as a suspected white supremacist propaganda machine. That's all it is. But again, with all of this outrage over a damn gorilla, but hateful indifference towards black people being killed, and black people being killed unjustly is being justified because of so-called crime in Chicago, that's that white supremacist nonsense. Excuse me, but I digress. Hold on, let me see if I can turn the heat up in this goddamn room, man. Hold on. I'm trying to turn the heat up in here, man. This shit is freezing. All right, sorry about that, fam. If y'all ever come to the UK, man, bring some goddamn long johns, some overalls, and some UGG boots. Because this weather will take you by surprise, man. I see why people be vacationing to Europe. Well, the weather here is always janky. And the food is kind of janky here, too. That's another thing. That's why I got to get around my Jamaican brothers and go to some of the Jamaican spots. That's when the shit is popping. You get around some of those brothers and go to the Jamaican spots, because the only thing that I really fuck with out here is the damn fish and chips. But other than that, the food is kind of janky. But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. Another thing I want to touch on, fam, that's going on in pop culture. The UCLA shooter. There was a shoot. There was two shootings this week. A couple of public shooters. Some say mass shooters. There was a shooting down in Houston, Texas. This white guy went up in a store and just started shooting, started capping. And I forgot what his name was, but this was in Houston a few days ago. And the day after, out in Los Angeles at UCLA, there was a student that went in and shot his teacher and then killed himself. And they said it's a murder-suicide, and they had to lock UCLA down and the whole shebang, and the SWAT was out there. Now, what's interesting, because I've been getting a lot of white supremacist trolls just hit my page up today because I've been calling out their white supremacist bullshit. And shout out to all the white supremacist racist trolls. Your troll tears are so delicious. Oh, they're so delicious. I drink them and eat them with crackers. They're so good and salty. But one thing I notice with these shooters, usually when the shooter's white, when they commit a shooting, all of a sudden, they become an ethnic. You notice that? They're white until they commit a crime. And when they commit a crime, all of a sudden, they're Hispanic. When they commit a crime, all of a sudden, they're Latino. When they commit a crime, all of a sudden, the white person becomes Middle Eastern. They focus on some type of ethnicity, and that's been a con game of white supremacy, because you can't really define what a white person is genetically. So that gives them an out to temporarily bow out or bow somebody else out of whiteness when it's convenient. That's a very slick trick of white supremacy that a lot of black people need to start catching. Like if a person of a certain hue, if they do something positive, the white supremacist structure will own up to him. But if they commit a crime, well, he's a Jew. It's that type of thing. So they've been doing the same thing with the shooter in Houston. That guy, they were calling him a Latino and making excuses, talking about, well, he had post-traumatic stress from being in the military. And then there's this UCLA shooter. And this is deep right here. The UCLA shooter, the guy who was shooting up the campus, all of the people who saw him, they kept describing him as a 6-foot-tall white male. And this is something that black folks are going to have to catch. The same thing happened with the San Bernardino shooter out there by Los Angeles a few months ago, where this guy went and shot up this job, and all of the witnesses kept describing it as some white males. They said it was a couple of tall white males dressed in black. Y'all remember that? They kept saying it was tall. They said it was a couple of tall white males dressed in black, shooting up everything. Go back and listen to some of those interviews. Look at the first day of interviews when these shootings happen. There's always one description, then all of a sudden, the description of the shooter changes the next day. That's real funny style, ain't it? Because the San Bernardino shooter, all the witnesses were saying he was white, but then the next day, he became a Middle Eastern. It was a Middle Eastern dude, and he was a ISIS, and they tied him all in with Al-Qaeda and all this old bullshit. So that seems real slick. And the same thing that happened with this guy out here in UCLA. All of the descriptions were saying it was a tall white guy dressed in black. Everybody kept saying that. And then all of a sudden, he's some brown skinned East Indian Pakistani dude. So it's real funny style with these shootings that happen. They happen. People describe one thing. They hide the name, hide the identity. Then all of a sudden, they pop up with some new identity and put that new identity out there. That's real, real funny style. And that's very suspicious. That's extremely suspicious, and we're going to have to start looking into that. Real heavy stuff. But another thing that's been happening is the Root series, and that's what I really want to talk about on today's show. The Root series is happening. They did a remake of Roots. The original Roots came out in the 1970s, I think 1977. And they've made a remake of it. And there have been mixed reviews about the Roots remake. There's been somewhat of a pushback. Now, Snoop Dogg, the great rapper Snoop, came out and he was like, look, I ain't fucking with that because I'm tired of looking at stuff where we're enslaved. And he made a very good point. He was talking about, you know, I want to see some stuff where we win it. I don't want to keep seeing us being beat down and bogged down. You know, we've seen enough of that. This is Snoop talking. And, you know, we want to see something different. We want to see something more progressive with black films and all that. So he made a very good point. And there are a lot of people who like the Roots show. I seen one episode. I didn't see it all the way through. And it wasn't bad. I'm not knocking Roots because I was talking about it on Twitter. And some people were saying, oh, you shading Roots. No. Not shading Roots at all. The acting is great. The casting is great. Shout out to my brother, Will Packer. Black man. He's one of the producers of it. The acting is phenomenal. Forrest Whitaker, so many good people. And I'm not knocking that, but my problem is this. We need balance at this point. And there's a lot of pushback because there's a lot of people on social media saying, hey, fuck this. Everybody need to watch Hidden Colors. So this has really brought up a discussion about Hidden Colors because you have a lot of so-called people in the black media who are praising the Roots series, but these so-called black media people have totally ignored Hidden Colors 4's success. Hidden Colors 4 is the number one documentary. It's outselling Roots based on pre-sales. It ain't even out yet. And the pre-sales just because of word of mouth. And the reason why these so-called black media outlets are not saying anything about Hidden Colors 4, it's because the white supremacists haven't given them the permission to do it. They haven't gotten permission because nobody white has co-signed it. And you got to watch all of these so-called black media people, which is just basically Negroes working for white corporations. You got to watch that, because these Negroes try to be the voice of Black America, and they are not. All those people at Ebony and The Root and the Black folks at Huffington Post and all that old shit, a lot of these people are just minions for the white supremacists. They can't think on their own. They do what the hell they told. And if they try to get too radical, they get reprimanded. And white mommy and white daddy have to give them permission on what to give props to. And they pretty much got permission to give props to the Roots series, because that's on the History Channel. And the History Channel really controls the narrative. And you got to watch the History Channel, because the History Channel is real slick. The History Channel is one of the reasons why I did Hidden Colors series, the whole series. Go back and look at Hidden Colors 1. In the very first scene of Hidden Colors 1, there's text that come on the screen. And in that text, it's a quote from me where I talk about watching the History Channel. I was watching a television show about people who came to America before Columbus, and the History Channel literally went out of their way to ignore the African presence in America before Columbus. There's so much evidence of African people being here before Columbus. I mean, you got giant African heads all in South America and Mexico. You got, I was down in Costa Rica. There's African statues all over the place. And the History Channel literally went out of their way to show every different group potentially coming here before Columbus except Africans. So at that point, I knew it was propaganda. So that prompted me to do the Hidden Colors series. Now, with the History Channel, whenever they show Black people or African people, they never talk about Africans before slavery, really. Or they show Africans always in a primitive light. If they show ancient Egyptians, they always look like Puerto Ricans. So they always tell lies or half-truths. And also, whenever the History Channel promotes or shows anybody Black, they show it on their show Gangland. Y'all know they got that TV show Gangland, where they have all these make-believe gangs that don't nobody ever know about. Some of these gangs ain't nobody ever heard about. It's the Shoestring Killers and all this. Who the fuck is the Shoestring Killers? The Shoestring Killers are terrorizing Minnesota. Shut up. These make-believe ass gangs they talk about so they can create that Black predator narrative. So the History Channel, they've always been on the fuck shit. And look at the Root series. With the Root series, see, they'll give you something, but then they'll taint it with something else. And that's how the white supremacists get down. They'll give you something halfway constructive, but they'll taint it a little bit. So it's like, we'll give you some bottled water, but there's going to be a little bit of lead poisoning in there. Essentially fucking it all the way up. And that's kind of what they did with Roots. And I want y'all to catch this. In the very first episode of the new Roots series on the History Channel, and a lot of y'all didn't catch this, but this is where they got you. This is the trick bag right there. I saw the trick bag within the first 5 minutes. And they brought the trick bag out early so that a lot of people wouldn't catch it. In the first 5 minutes, I'm looking at the new Roots series, and they show an African village. They show some Africans over in Africa. Then they go out of their way to talk about how some Africans owned a whole bunch of slaves. Right there, that's where they got you. Right there is where they got you. They start going into the whole Africans sold other Africans narrative. That's where they got your ass. Because when they say that and don't put it in context, then they get you. So now they put out, well, these Africans had slaves and then they sold each other. So now whatever you see after that, when you see Black folks on the slave ships getting beat up and then they reach the plantation, they getting beat up and the hands and feet getting chopped off and they getting abused. What they do is make it seem like, well, it's the Africans' fault for selling you. That's what they do. They make it seem like, well, all of this evil is happening to you because your African brother sold you. It's really their fault. And nothing is further from the truth. Understand, and whenever they try to use the African sold other African argument, well, Africa was already colonized at that point. Africa had already been invaded. So Africans were essentially forced to sell their war prisoners because they were warring. The Europeans were in the middle instigating the war and giving weapons to different tribes and giving them these offers they couldn't refuse. They basically said, hey, look, either you're going to get on these slave ships or you're going to help get that other tribe that you're warring with in the slave ship. But somebody's getting in one of these damn ships, so you just make a choice. So it was that type of thing. So don't let them make you think that the Africans enslaved other Africans, but we didn't have the chattel slavery. That didn't exist before European or the Arab. There was no reason to have a slave like that. Before the European or the Arab, we didn't have all that. And all that stuff about selling your children and your children being a slave, that didn't exist with African people. Raping your wife and all, no. The European came up with a whole different project where they chopping off people's feet and all that old stuff if you don't work. No. No, that's some European shit right there. So that's how they get you in the first 5 minutes. So when you're watching this stuff, and this is another thing, they show a lot of torture, they show a lot of suffering, which happened. And another narrative that they like to put out is like, okay, look, all you black people complaining about how bad you got it now, look at all these slave movies. Look at how Kunta Kinte got beaten. Look at 12 Years a Slave. Look at all of these slave movies, because we're getting flooded with slave movies. I mean, it's slave back to back. So what they say is basically, look, you ain't got it too bad now. Look at how bad you used to have it. See, they show all the terror and the horror of slavery and then say, okay, now look, you got Obama now. Look, you got weaves and rims and weed. So you don't have it so bad. Look at how you used to have it. So if I were you, I'd stop complaining. You wouldn't want to go back to that plantation now, would you? So that's the game that they run on us. So the thing is, look, people, especially these Negroes who work for these white corporations, that's all on Twitter singing the praises of roots and all. Oh, this is my history. Ooh, I love it. Oh, my history. Oh, this is my history. Look, we've done four installments, four full-length DVDs about African history. We don't have to rehash the same slave story over and over again. We don't. With the Hidden Colors series, that's about 10 hours of nonstop African history, and about 10% of it has to do with slavery. And that's where a lot of the pushback is. So many people are pushing back against the Roots series because we know now, too many people have seen Hidden Colors, so now people are like, wait a minute, why don't y'all tell the other story? Why don't you tell more of our history instead of the same rehashed story? Because now people got the game now. People got the information now. So now there's a rejection of the same old narrative. And it's a justified rejection as well. But we don't have to rehash that same old story. And understand this about Roots. This is another thing. With Roots, for the most part, you're looking at the story from the eyes of those in the dominant society. See, a lot of people think that Roots, and this is the common narrative, so I would understand why people would think this. The common narrative of Roots is that author Alex Haley, who was a black author in the 60s and 70s. Alex Haley, as a matter of fact, wrote the autobiography to Malcolm X, one of the autobiographies. I think he helped out with that. So Alex Haley was a very well-respected black author. And Alex Haley, the narrative was that Roots was about his family. He traced his ancestry back to Africa, learned about Kunta Kinte and all that stuff. But the reality is, Alex Haley plagiarized that story. A lot of the stuff in Roots was plagiarized. It was a white guy who wrote that stuff. It was a white guy named Harold Courtlander. And he wrote a book called The African, which was basically a fiction novel. It was a fiction book based on his view and interpretation of what it was like on the slave ship and all that stuff. So it was coming from a white male's perspective. And Alex Haley, he plagiarized it. As a matter of fact, there was a court case. I mean, Alex Haley actually got sued and he had to settle out of court. He had to pay this guy over $500,000 for taking, you know, some of the story for Roots from the man's book. The book was called The African. I think you can still get the book, The African. It might be on Amazon by Harold Cortland. So you're looking at a story from the perspective of a person in the dominant society. So, of course, those in the dominant society, when they tell our story, it's a story of suffering, degradation, abuse, being on the bottom, and learning how to have dignity while being on the bottom. See, that's the thing they give us. They give us the ass whoopings every time we see a movie about ourselves. It's constant ass whoopings, getting our heads beaten in, our legs chopped off. We're getting raped nonstop, which happened. But then they say, okay, well, you need to have dignity with all that. So what we like to do with the Hidden Color series, we like to talk about stuff outside of that. What happened before that? Where did we go right and where did we go wrong? And that's those are the blanks that Hidden Colors fill, especially with Hidden Colors 4. With Hidden Colors 4, that's a great companion piece to Roots. Because I'm not knocking anybody for watching Roots. I would say watch Roots. I would say check it out. Enjoy the acting, understand it, but understand the game that they're trying to run and understand the narrative they're trying to leave you with is get your beatings with dignity. So I say watch Roots, but then immediately watch Hidden Colors 4 so you can fill in those damn blanks. Watch what happened after slavery and then watch what happened before slavery and watch what reasons we got caught up there to be enslaved in the first place, because that's another thing we go into in Hidden Colors 4. And that's something that the white supremacists, they don't like us talking about that. They don't like us talking about where we went wrong so we can rectify that and not fall for the same traps. And also, we definitely go into solutions. We're real, real big on the solution game. So a lot of people, again, are very justified in the pushback against Roots in favor of Hidden Colors. And you can watch both. And speaking of Hidden Colors, for those out here in the UK, join me this Sunday. I'm going to be out here. We're having a screening at the Millennium Point Auditorium. That is in Birmingham, England. All my London people, y'all can come on up. I thought the train ride from London was a couple of hours. It's only an hour train ride. So all my London people, I want to see you guys in the house this Sunday. It's going to be June 5th, this Sunday, 6 p.m. Go to HiddenColorsFilm.com. Also, there's going to be a screening of Hidden Colors in Arizona. There's going to be another screening in Baltimore, again, at the Senator Theater. There's going to be a screening in Columbus, Ohio. All right. So I'm going to have all that information up on the HiddenColorsFilm.com site. Go check it out. Go check out TariqElite.com. Again, everybody, if you don't have your pre-order, go to Amazon right now. Pre-order your copy of Hidden Colors 4 and just fasten your seatbelts, man, because that thing is going to take you on an emotional ride, an emotional, spiritual, and mental ride. You're going to really enjoy it. All right, fam, let me get up out of here, man. Let me put some thicker socks on out here in this cold ass weather. I'm gonna chop it up with you guys. Hopefully I'll be able to do the Ustream show this Sunday. Hopefully I will be, because we're doing the screening Sunday. But anyway, y'all, I'm gonna holla. Peace.